this last conversation that Jesus had with his friends before he went to the cross. This is on Thursday night. He's talking to his friends before he goes to the cross on Friday. But he's getting them ready, not just for Friday, but for Sunday and for everything that's going to happen after Sunday. Okay, he's getting them ready for it. So turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to John 15, starting in verse 26. And let's ask for the Lord's help as we look at his word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for giving us your word. We thank you that your word is true. I pray that you would right now reveal your son to us through your word. I pray that you would work in our hearts to believe what you've said, to obey it, to live in the light of it. I pray that you do your work of making us more like your son and making us come together under him as our Lord. I pray that you would help us right now, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Today we're celebrating the most important moment in history, the most important events in history, the death and resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. When Jesus, the Son of God, died, he paid the penalty for the sins of the world. He died in our place. And when he rose again 3 days later and then ascended to heaven 40 days after that, it showed that Jesus had triumphed. He was victorious. He had conquered sin and hell and death and Satan. He is alive. He's now sitting on God's throne, and he's going to come again. The resurrection of Jesus inaugurates a new era. I've been listening to a history podcast about the French Revolution. The guys on the podcast keep talking about how that's a new era in European history. You can think of other moments that sort of like started a new era in history, you know, like the fall of Rome or the American Revolution, or, you know, in a smaller way, when there's a new president, that's like a new time, a new era. And in your own life, you can think of markers that start like a new chapter in your life. Maybe you moved from one place to another. Maybe you started a new job. You got married. You had a baby. Maybe it's a death of a loved one. Maybe it's a graduation. Like, there are these markers of a new era in your life. The resurrection of Jesus started a new era for his disciples, for his friends, as they had come to believe that he was the Messiah, who would soon restore their nation, Israel, to greatness and establish the kingdom of God on the earth. And when they died, as Steve mentioned earlier, their hopes were dashed. But their sorrow turned to joy when they saw him again, alive from the dead. And then he left. He ascended to heaven. He was no longer physically present with them. And that's a drastic change. That's a new era for them. But even in a greater way, Jesus' resurrection inaugurates a new era for all people. It's a new time period in spiritual history. Like, even in our calendar, there's a change between BC and AD, right? But I'm not just talking about a change in religious history, like before the Christian era and now during the Christian era. I'm talking about a change in the way that people relate to God, the way that we relate to each other. When Jesus rose from the dead and went to heaven, it's a new time. Things have changed. And this is the era that we live in now. So we need to understand this time. The scripture that I'm about to read is part of a conversation that Jesus had with his friends, the disciples, on Thursday evening before he died on Friday and then rose again on Sunday. Jesus' friends didn't yet understand why these events that were coming would be the best things that ever happened to them. They didn't understand the change that was coming. And Jesus is explaining these things ahead of time as best as they can handle it and getting them ready for this new era that they're going to be living in. If you're here today and you have yet to discover why Easter is so significant for you, this is going to help. And if you're here today and you understand quite a bit about Jesus' resurrection, but you need some encouragement, this is for you. And if you want to understand the times that we're living in from a spiritual perspective, you're in the right place. So let me read. This is John 15:26-16:15. Jesus said, "When the Counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. You will also testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you these things to keep you from stumbling. They will ban you from the synagogues. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do these things because they haven't known the Father or me. But I have told you these things so that when their time comes, you will remember I told them to you. I didn't tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going away to him who sent me, and not one of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Yet because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to my Father, and you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you." This is God's word. So let's look at four things that are happening in this new era that starts with Jesus' resurrection from the dead and his ascension to heaven. The first thing I want to talk about is the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is going to come. If you look at verse 7, it says, "It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you." So the disciples are sad because Jesus said he was leaving, but Jesus says, "I'm going to send someone to you, and having him with you will be even better than having me here." Okay, so who is this Counselor? He's not a camp counselor. He's not a therapist. He's the Holy Spirit of God. And look at verse 26. It says he's the Spirit of truth, who Jesus sends from God the Father to the world. So in this new era, the Holy Spirit of God will be present and operating on the earth. And that's now. If you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God is living in you. And notice, he's not a he, or I'm sorry, he's not an it, he is a he. You notice how it always says, he will do this, he will do that. He's not just an energy or a life force, he's the invisible third person of the triune God. Look at verse 26, it says, he will testify about Jesus. He always draws attention to Jesus. He explains what Jesus did, who Jesus is. He helps people live in the light of what Jesus has done. And look at verse 27. Jesus tells his friends that they would testify about him. They would testify about him too. because they had been with him from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit would help Jesus' friends proclaim to the world all that they had seen, all that they had heard about Jesus, from Jesus. And part of that testimony is this book that we're reading, the Gospel of John. So I want to ask you, have you received the Holy Spirit's testimony about Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus died for you so that your sins could be forgiven and that he rose again and that he's coming back? If you haven't yet, you can trust in him right now, right where you're sitting. You can trust in him. And if you have trusted in Jesus, you, just like the disciples, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And so let me ask you who are believers in Christ, are you testifying about Jesus with your life and especially with your words? In this era, the Holy Spirit works in us so that our lives are all about Jesus. And so we're giving testimony to the world about Jesus. Do you see yourself this way? Jesus is alive, and he's continuing his work in the world through his Holy Spirit working in you. So in this new era, the Holy Spirit is present with us. And the second thing I want to see, it's an era of division. It's a time when people are divided. Now, there's a lot of talk today about how people are so divided. It's like a constant stream, right, of people lamenting that or celebrating that. And the commentators usually mean political division, you know, left and right, blue and red. But there's a more significant dividing line that separates people, separates everyone in the world. Either they trust in Jesus or they're against him. When Jesus was on earth, he was divisive. And after he rose and ascended to heaven, that division continued. But now instead of opposition being directed at Jesus, it's directed at his followers. And so Jesus wanted his disciples to be ready, to expect it, and to hold on to their faith through it. Now, all of the earliest Christians were Jewish, but it wouldn't take long before the Jewish establishment expelled the Christians from the Jewish religion, from the synagogues. And as you can read in the book of Acts, there were people who would even kill Christians thinking that that's what God wanted. But Jesus assures ahead of time his disciples that people who trust in him are on God's side, and those who reject Jesus are rejecting God. The disciples shouldn't be surprised by opposition, and they should hold on to their faith. Even worse than being killed is letting go of Jesus. And so that's the spiritual division in this era. Either you're trusting in Christ or you're not. There's no middle ground. There's no neutral territory. Either you've received God's mercy in Christ, or you're facing God's condemnation. There are just two destinies. There's hell, and then on the other hand, there's the new heavens and the new earth. And you're either spiritually alive or you're spiritually dead. So let me ask you, which side are you on? If you haven't trusted in Jesus yet, you can trust in him today. And if you are a believer in Jesus, don't be surprised if not everybody supports your faith. Like in Connecticut, we don't face persecution, but we do face some opposition from people, some criticism sometimes. And so don't let it rattle you. Jesus said it was coming. Hold on to Jesus. And another thing that's going on in this era is that the Holy Spirit is convicting the world. And that means that the Holy Spirit is showing people who have rejected Jesus that they're wrong, and that Jesus and the Holy Spirit is, when he convicts them, he's giving those people an opportunity to turn and to trust in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world about sin, Jesus said, especially that those people are wrong to reject Jesus. You see that in verse 9. And look at verse 10. The Holy Spirit convicts the world about righteousness. So the idea there is only Jesus' righteousness is adequate to be accepted by God, not the world's efforts at being religious or being good. And the proof is that Jesus is the one who is raised from the dead and lifted to heaven. And then the Holy Spirit convicts the world about judgment. So the world who rejected Jesus has made a wrong judgment about him. But God has vindicated Jesus, and he's condemned Satan, the evil spirit behind the rejection of God's Son. So those who don't turn to Christ will face God's judgment too. The Holy Spirit is convicting people of this. So how does the Holy Spirit do that work of convicting the world? So foremost, the Holy Spirit convicts the world through the testimony of Jesus' disciples, which we now have in the Bible, in the New Testament. So the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict people of the truth about Jesus and of their own sin. And secondarily, the Holy Spirit does this work through us who believe as we testify about Jesus. So let's pray that through the Scripture and through our witness, the Holy Spirit would bring conviction on the hearts of the people that we know, just like he did for us, so that they too will turn from sin and turn to Christ. So not only does the Holy Spirit convict the world, he also guides believers in Christ in the truth. Look at verse 13. The truth that the Holy Spirit declares is all about Jesus. God the Father sent Jesus into the world. Everything that Jesus said and did was just what the Father gave him to say and do. And now that Jesus has gone into heaven, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the meaning of what Jesus said and did. So the Holy Spirit helps each generation of Christians to understand the implications, you know, for them, for us, of Jesus' identity and his ministry, and especially of his death and resurrection and ascension and that he's coming again. So the truth that the Holy Spirit declares to us isn't something new or different. He's glorifying Jesus, and he helps us to follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit always directs our attention to the Son of God. So let's zoom out, and let's see the big picture of what we've talked about. After Jesus died and rose and ascended to heaven, a new era starts, a new era of spiritual history, the era that we're in right now. And in this new era, Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit into the world. God's Spirit is working here. He's with us. And it's also a time of division about Jesus. There are those who belong to God through their faith in Christ and those who don't. And with regard to those who haven't yet trusted in Christ, the Holy Spirit is convicting them and giving them an opportunity to turn, to trust in Christ. And for us who believe, the Holy Spirit is guiding us to understand the truth about Jesus and helping us live for him. So in this new era, even though Jesus isn't physically here and we're still waiting on him to come back, everything is all about him. He's still working here through his Spirit, and everything is working out for Jesus' glory. So no matter what you're facing today, if you belong to him, you can be confident because Jesus has the victory, and that victory belongs to you. Look back at chapter 16, verse 1. Jesus said, "I have told you these things to keep you from stumbling." What does he mean there, stumbling? He means giving up on their faith in him. He has risen from the dead. He's told us ahead of time what's coming. He doesn't want us to stumble. He wants us to hold on to him. He's telling us this so that we won't lose hope, so that we won't lose our faith. The resurrection proves that Jesus is from God, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't let opposition rattle you. Don't let hard times rattle you. He told us it was coming. He has the victory, and we're in him. Jesus is risen indeed. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us the great privilege of knowing these things. Thank you for revealing these things to us. These are deep and profound truths, and they're life-changing if we'll receive them in faith. And I pray for those gathered here that each one would receive this in faith. I pray that your spirit would work among us today, and we ask you for your help. We want to glorify your son with our lives and with our song that we're about to sing, and we pray in his name, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing, "Worship Christ, the Risen King."